Welcome back, everybody, to the Stadium Journey Podcast. Thanks for joining us tonight. Remember, check out the website, stadiumjourney.com. We are the world leader in sports travel information with reviews of over 2,500 stadiums from all around the world. If you're a social media fan, and we've been laughing about social media for the past 15 minutes before we started, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, and probably a whole lot more. Easy to find us at Stadium Journey. Like, share, and follow, right? If you would like to check out some old episodes, if this episode just blows your mind in such a way that you say, hey, I got to listen to some old episodes, simply go wherever you look for your favorite podcast, type in HIAC Talk Radio Network. You'll find us there. If you would rather watch a video simulcast of the podcast, just go to our YouTube channel. Once again, that's at Stadium Journey, or it's YouTube, then look up Stadium Journey. It's a little different there. If you'd like to be part of our social media audience, yeah, I know the scroller is scrolling my attention.
Yeah, I was trying to help you. I was trying to help you out with the ticker.
Yeah, but you know, it did the opposite as usual, as most well-intentioned things are. You know, if you want to be part of our studio audience, join us every other Monday night. It's usually when we record, 7 p.m. Eastern, across Dan's vast social media empire. So, the gang's all here tonight. Let me take a second and let you all be introduced, everybody. Dave Cotney's here. Follow him at OFAN9. Opening day for the New England Knockouts, 7 days from now. Mark Vikas can be found at Ballpark Hunter. The above-average comedian Dan Colachico's here. Find him at DanLaw83. And I'm Paul Baker. You can find me at PuckmanRI. So baseball season is well underway. I think most of the independent leagues started this week or will be starting within the next week or two. Major League has been going for a month. Minor League's been going for about a month. But my point here is that there is more baseball out there than just the major leagues. So today we're going to take a look at some of those other levels of baseball and why they might just be a better choice for you than the major leaguers that are on television every night. So Mark, this was your baby, this one, so why don't you walk us into our discussion here. So we've got, like I said, we got the major leagues, you got affiliated minor leagues, you've got independent leagues, and you got summer college leagues once the college season ends. Lots of choices out there.
You have some amateur. It gets confusing because when you talk to people, you'd be surprised how many people don't realize they're at a summer collegiate independent or minor league team. They think that, you know, there's people that think Washington Wild Things are affiliated with the Pittsburgh Pirates. But, you know, for me, I get asked a lot of questions, you know, what type of baseball do you like? And I like the minor leagues. And then when you look at it compared to the major leagues, and then when you kind of, you know, invest a little bit more, I'm really enjoying a lot of the summer collegiate leagues that are out there, especially Northwoods, Prospect, Coastal Plain. I like the smaller ballparks, the prices, the small towns, the atmosphere that reminds me of minor league baseball affiliated from the early 90s when I was a little kid. Well, not a little kid, teenager. So, yeah, this year, you know, I'm getting excited. I'm looking at some trips to Iowa that includes Prospect League, that includes some low-level minor league teams. So I think I'm becoming a firm believer in a lot of these summer collegiate leagues is the way to go. And if you want to get more bang for your buck, if you're traveling with the children, the summer collegiates are a lot of fun. It's just don't have me try to explain everything to you because it may take a while.
That would be my point exactly is, especially when you're thinking, I've always been a fan of minor league baseball, affiliated minor league baseball. But what I'm finding lately, especially since the major leagues in what year was it, 2021? Their takeover and reorganization of the minor leagues, I found that it's become very corporate, bland. I feel a little bit like now that it doesn't matter if I'm catching a game in Worcester or Frisco or Rancho Cucamonga or Tacoma, it seems like they're becoming more and more similar, where they used to have a lot more of an identity. And I'm feeling like the prices are getting crazy. Maybe because the closest ballpark to me is in Worcester. And it can now, when you go to a game at Worcester, it can cost you $25 to park. It can cost you up to $40 or $50 for a ticket. I mean, to me, that's not minor leagues anymore. That's what you can pay to get go to a major league game. So,
$25 to park for a Woo Sox game.
Yeah, I can. I found a place that's a bargain. It's only $20.
That's insane, and people pay that. Like, that's accepted. Nobody questions that.
Everybody questions it, but you have no other choices.
I would never. I would even pay. I mean, I have paid $10. I think the Dell Diamond in Texas. I think it's $10 or $15, which I thought that was high.
So yeah, so I mean, my larger point is I'm looking more and more towards independent pro ball, and like you said, summer college ball, specifically to get bang for my buck.
Yeah, no, and I have this conversation on the Ballpark Hunter podcast with a buddy of mine, Zach Beeson, who loves Stadium Journey. He says whenever he travels, he checks out our page. He's traveled with three kids, you know, so that means a lot. You know, he doesn't want to pay $20 for a ticket or $25 to park. He doesn't want to pay $6 for a hot dog. You know, he wants to go on like on a hot dog night. He wants free parking on a grass lot. You know, he wants like $5 tickets, you know. So you got a lot of parents, whether they're moms mm-hmm. or dads, looking for a really good deal. Because, you know, some ballparks, they let the kids run around and jump on the playground area or just let them run up and down a hill. And you just kind of hang out, watch a game. And I think sometimes that could be missed, you know, $25 to park. And I know Nashville, Tennessee, some of their tickets are in the 20s to sit behind first base. It's shocking. It's shocking to think that's where minor league baseball is at this moment.
And Gregory Koch has mentioned the Malmo Oat Milkers. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah.
In the minor leagues, for our listeners who aren't aware of what this is going on, this is a promotion being run by minor league baseball this year where every team, I think every team is involved in it. If not every team, a bunch of them. There'll be designated games or series, I'm not sure which, where they will be branded as the Malmo Oat Milkers. And Malmo is a city in Sweden, so it's not tied to anything there. But the Oat Milkers are, it's a brand of oat milk, I guess. And that's what they will be. They will be oat wearing milk. Hats, uniforms, everything branded by the oat milk industry.
You know, when that was announced, I thought that was an April Fool's joke. But that's serious. Somebody wore that the other night.
You know what's funny about that whole thing is that, to me, that seems like something that like an Eastern League would do or an Atlantic League, or not an Eastern League, sorry, Atlantic League or Frontier League or one of the independent leagues.
Yeah,
Atlantic League, definitely. You know, to do that outright just cash grab, which essentially it is, right? I wouldn't have guessed that with minor league baseball. But, you know, to do that, you would have to have that kind of overarching, you know, that overarching authority figure.
Yes. So I mean, the overall without, management company. Yeah.
Yeah. Without Major League Baseball being involved. I mean, maybe that couldn't happen. So I don't know. I hear what you guys are saying. I would be really, really, really leery of using Worcester as a comparable for anything because they've got the newest ballpark and, you know, they got to pay for the newest ballpark and whatnot. I mean, for me, I don't feel that the prices in, like in Rochester or Buffalo, I don't feel that the prices have gotten up at all really. And, you know, are prices probably going to be lower for independent summer college? Yeah, probably. Now, I mean, for me, outside of intercounty baseball, which, you know, has a whole host of different issues, it's
not in Welland.
There's not a ton of other options, right? Like I couldn't tell you where the nearest like independent, if you would classify intercounty as a summer amateur college league, which is kind of is, I guess, like a semi pro or whatever.
Yeah. Would that be more amateur, like a town ball league?
Yeah. It's a town ball league.
Sort of. College people still play and they keep their eligibility or whatever. So I guess. But like independent, like what? Geez, what's close? I don't know. Yeah, Quebec, Trois-Rivières, maybe something
probably,
like
no,
that's kind of like you, Ottawa,
Utica, yeah. Utica, Ottawa would be cheap, closer, but still, that's the it's US, way closer for me to go to Buffalo or Rochester than any of those places.
The team in Detroit, the USPBL, where they have like four teams, the Unicorns and the Mammoth. Yep. That's an independent, and that's an awesome ballpark too, Jimmy Johns Field. Glad you brought that up. That's a fun place to go see a game. But yeah, that would be the closest to you, and that's kind of an anomaly.
But yeah,
I'm not saying that it's not minor league ball is not a good bargain. But what I'm saying is that the prices are starting to creep up, and you're seeing more of a difference in between the levels than you did before.
Yeah, and you're right, Dave. It depends where you talk. I don't think you're going to get that in Rochester. They wouldn't put up with it. But if you go to, I'm just thinking, are the prices high in Worcester because, well, it's Worcester, right? I always mess that up with my New Jersey accent. Are the prices higher there because it's the new game in town? When was the last time they had minor league baseball?
They had the Major League Baseball in 1888.
Yeah, 1888.
First perfect game in Major League Baseball was thrown in Worcester.
Paul, were you announcing at that game?
I think he was.
At the perfect game? Yes, I talked in the old-timey voice, you know.
Went 14 innings. He didn't want to get pulled out in the 12th. He thought he was...
Well, if we're looking at all three kind of as equal, I would say, for me, the big difference right off the top, and this is a positive with Major League Baseball getting involved, the venues. The venues are going to be better in minor league baseball than in summer college or than in independent. You know, maybe you have a few kind of affiliates that have been left by the wayside and now are gone to independent baseball or summer college baseball. But now with Major League Baseball sort of being the godfather of minor league baseball, they have required that facilities meet a certain standard. And if they're not, you know, there's some movement happening. Like Mississippi is in their last year, the Mississippi Braves. They're Mark, you know where they're moving. I don't remember where they're moving, but
Columbus, Georgia.
But they're moving, right? And
that's a fine facility. I don't know why they would move out of that one.
Well, that's a good question.
Besides the fact they were like 23 people when I was there on a Friday night.
Well, I think attendance is an issue there in Mississippi. Yeah, I don't think they're attractive. I think they're one of the lowest in the Southern League or even Double A. So, and I think Columbus has given them like a sweetheart deal to renovate. I think it's called Golden Park. It's an older park, but they're going to renovate it, which would be nice. I mean, somebody will move into that ballpark outside of Jackson. It will probably be the likes of the independent, summer collegiate. Either is going to be the Independent American Association or the folks over at, I can't think of the name, Prospect League. I can see them dipping their toes down south.
So, but sorry, I know we interrupted you there, Dave.
Yeah.
Some of the places that you've, you know, talked about, Mark, and you're like, oh, yeah, and you're all raving about them. And then I see pictures of the ballpark and I'm like, really? That's, I don't know.
Which one?
Well, I'm the snob on the panel, so I'm like, I wouldn't want to go there.
Well, it depends, you know. Yeah, there's like tonight it's raining here in Indianapolis. I'm sure they're not playing on Mondays, but it would suck to be at Victory Field. It would suck to be at Fort Wayne's Parkview Field tonight. But, you know, you go on a nice weekend, you go on a great promotion. Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah, but it's the pick of the litter, you know. Sometimes Mother Nature isn't agreeing with you. Dumps a bunch of rain or cold weather. Yeah, your night stinks. And whether you're at a summer collegiate game or an independent game, you know, probably would be the pits. A very few times I've been on a rainy night at a baseball game. There's been a packed house, except for Jacksonville, Florida. We all hung out underneath the roof and drank $2 beers until they kicked us out.
Rain delays on $2 beer nights. Is there anything better?
Yeah. That'd be a good podcast if we have more experience in that.
Yeah, none of us have ever drank a beer.
No, we're just there to get the facts.
Bob. So, all right, so let's talk a little bit because, you know, one of the things people talk about, talk about the people who are not informed. We have a very educated audience, so I'm sure I may be just stating the obvious. Independent baseball. Players who play in independent baseball leagues are professional baseball players. They do get paid to play and ply their craft. They're not making what the affiliated player. Well, I don't know what exactly. I don't know what the pay scale is for the affiliated guys. I do know what the independent guys make. But there are different leagues, and the different leagues do have different levels. So you have the three biggest independent leagues are the Atlantic League, the American Association, and the Frontier League. Right? Am I? There's also other smaller leagues like
Mark. I think Pioneer League now is
Pioneer League. Yep. Yeah. And then there's the Pecos League, and you mentioned the one that plays in Utica. I can't think of
Pecos.
Ooh. Yeah, the Pecos League is really
the wild, wild west of
exactly
independent baseball leagues. That's a whole other story there, but
yeah. What can you expect from the level of play? It really depends on the league. At one time, the Atlantic League, they said it was probably similar in skill level to like a Double A. I know the Frontier League. I actually work for a Frontier League team. It's guys who have basically maybe made a couple of runs up the affiliated ladder, but are not ready to give up the dream. So you're looking at more like a high A type of skill level, give or take. So, I mean, so you'll see some good baseball at the independent leagues, but the draws there are since they're not covered by Major League Baseball, they can be a little wacky at times and think outside the envelope a little more.
Well, we saw a game in Lincoln, me and you, way back when, 2019, and it had a weird walk-off win. I think it was an E1.
It was a walk-off wild pitch or pass ball or something.
Yeah, like that. It was something odd, and the team that they were playing was full of players from Japan. So that just tells you where that league was going with their ideology.
That was the Lincoln Salt Dogs. And they were playing Grand Prairie, who was stocking their team, like you said. Were the Chinese Nationals or Japanese Nationals?
I thought it was who knows?
I think it was Chinese Nationals because of the Olympics. It was
Chinese Nationals.
They were using that league as a training ground for their Olympic team.
And then their ballpark was converted into a cricket ground now. So
yes,
it tells you how that worked out. But, yeah, we saw – and that was a rainy night too. It had rained earlier that day. In fact, I think it canceled the Omaha Storm Chaser game. It postponed it. They still went on with that game. Wasn't a huge crowd, but you know, I enjoyed it. I didn't have a problem with what I saw. But it was a weird night.
Our friend Gregory was there too that night.
Greg was there as well. Yeah, I drove him back to him and Meg to Des Moines. That was a long, long drive.
Lincoln to Des Moines. That's a long drive.
That was a 3-hour drive back. I was like, yeah, I'll drive 3 hours. And then I drove back the next day to see the College World Series. That's a story for another time. Perhaps when you don't plan your trips well.
Yeah, and then that's the independent leagues. And then summer college leagues. I think what we've seen in the past few years is just an explosion of summer collegiate leagues. Why? Because they are dirt cheap to run when you compare it to a professional team. Because it's college kids. Who are you don't have to pay them. So the footprints are usually a lot smaller. So travel fees are a lot less, and so costs are a lot less. It's just easier to make a profit. You don't have to bring in. You don't have to make sure your average attendance is 3,000 people to make sure you meet your bottom line.
Well, that and plus Major League Baseball like destroyed the New York Penn League, so a lot of those clubs. Like, what the heck do we do? But they were in small towns like Batavia or Auburn.
Yeah.
And Elmira had already joined. And they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll join. I think it's the perfect game.
Well, there's New York State has two leagues. There's the perfect game league, and then there's the Collegiate Baseball League. Yes. Go ahead, Mark.
So I think, you know, Batavia, who had, you know, minor league baseball for decades. Question whether they should join, but I think it's
yes, Misty. They are in fact perfect. Yes, in the perfect.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, New York Collegiate is a little. I don't know. It's a little smaller than them, but you know now Niagara Falls has a team and in the league Batavia. So you got all those old New York Penn League teams that were once affiliated rookie teams. Now they're in the summer collegiate. And I hope people go to the game and enjoy it and don't sit there and say, this baseball stinks. Yes, you're going to have some people that say that. But I think the prices will be right. The promotions will still be the same. You don't have as many games to plan, promote, special nights, so you have to compact them, which could be a blessing because every night's maybe a little more meaningful to come out to the game. For a ballpark, for people like us, it'd be great to travel upstate New York and just hit all those little hamlets and check out baseball.
Tell you, Mark, one of the great things about these summer leagues, at least I've been in, I can talk about New England and New York State because I've been to a lot of those. I've been to all of the ones in New England, as a matter of fact. It's kept a lot of old professional ballparks alive and kicking. Take, for example, in New England, the Futures League that has eight teams playing in it. Seven of those eight teams play in old professional ballparks. So you've got a team in Pittsfield, plays in old Wacona Stadium. We've got Nashua.
Silver Knights.
Worcester. New Britain, Norwich, Brockton, Lynn all have played in old professional ballparks, which without summer collegiate ball would have nothing. Most of them would have nothing there. So it's been great. What you were talking about, the New England Collegiate League, the New York Collegiate League, one of the best ballparks I've ever been to is in that league. The Amsterdam Mohawks play in a little park called Shuttlesworth Park. And I actually went there during the pandemic because it was one of only two ballparks that were open within a 6-hour drive. And one weekend I had to go to a baseball game. And so we drove all the way to Amsterdam, New York, and just fell in love with this little wooden grandstand in the woods. It was just the perfect setting. So I've got to make it back there. I've always promised myself I'll make it back out there when it's a real game. But it's just one of those little fantastic experiences that you're not going to get anywhere. You want to talk about fantastic experiences. We're talking about summer college leagues. Let's talk about the Cape Cod League. Widely considered by those in the know to be the best summer college league in the country. And I wish our colleague Meg Menard was listening because she actually took my advice one year, did a trip, 2 weeks spending on Cape Cod, which is a great place to be in the summer, never mind, nonetheless. Visited all 10 Cape Cod League ballparks within a 2-week span. Said it was the best road trip she's ever been on. What makes the Cape Cod League the best? Well, A, you've got the best players in the country playing. It used to be split between Cape Cod and Alaska, but now all the premier players go to the Cape for the summer. All 10 teams are within an hour of each other. So the ballparks are not the best. The ballparks are really most of them are glorified high school fields. But you're not there for that. Admission is free. You can go for free. Parking is free at all the ballparks. So you bring your own lawn chair, you bring your own cooler, pull your chair up. In some ballparks, you pull your chair right up to the foul line, and you park it right there on the foul line and watch future major leaguers. One out of every six players in the major leagues right now played in the Cape Cod League. So there's my pitch to come to Massachusetts for the summertime.
Oh, God.
Paid for by Tourism Cape Cod.
It's just, I work for one of the rival leagues in New England, but the Cape Cod League is something special. I love to
get that. Do they pay you in cash for that? Or
the Cape League? They my cooler will be filled next time I come with my lunch here.
I have to disagree with something that you guys were saying. So you said, like,
you?
Yes. Yes, me. I'm the snub.
Wow.
You were saying, like, people like us, summer college is perfect.
What do you mean, you people?
I'm going to flip that. I actually think it's worse because many of us have this this curse of being a completionist. And there's no possible way that you could complete going to summer college ball or independent ball, mainly because the teams change like every year.
Dave, in 2014, Pam and I went to every single summer college league ballpark in New England. 32 ballparks in one summer all over New England. It was a death march by the end.
But in minor league baseball now, it seems like there's a definitive finish line, right? Like 120 teams, four levels. Each major league team has has an affiliate at each level. Done.
Until Mississippi moves, and until Tennessee moves, and until Pawtucket moves, and the next one moves.
Pawtucket already moved. You missed that one.
Well, who knows? Who knows 5 years from now what teams will be where? I mean, well, isn't Wilson getting a minor league team in North Carolina? Isn't that?
But and you guys would know better than I. Is there not more movement, and maybe not movement, but I would say openings and closings in summer college and independent than there is in minor league?
Oh, absolutely, because I think there's more shadier business practices. So guys who, people who should not be owning a team, put up the money and buy a team and get in, and then they find out they don't know how to run a team. Or they, a big part of running a summer college team is getting that support system, billet families, and so forth. So if you can't get your other stuff, your off-field stuff in gear, then you can end up losing out. That happened to the Winnipesaukee Muskrats in the New England League last year. They didn't have enough billet families, or their something in about their business practices wasn't kosher, so they ended up getting the franchise revoked.
Yeah, and if you look at like the Coastal Plain League, I think in the last couple of years they've added a team in Boone, North Carolina. This year they have the Yard Gnomes in Greenville. So yeah, I think a lot of these leagues want to expand. They want to be bigger. They think bigger is better. Northwoods League expanded to a couple teams this year. They took teams from some other previous.
They already had 24.
They're 24. They have a Royal Oak, Michigan, which was in a very low level Great Lakes League last year. And they took out the Bigfoots from the Independence Baseball League. So they may be at 40 within 10 years, knowing those guys. I see what you're saying about completing. You know, you want to hit all the minor leagues, you want to hit all the major league ballparks. I think for me, if I can look at a map and I can say, wow, look at all these baseball teams within a reasonable distance that I can get to in a certain amount of time while I'm out here, that's what I'm all about. And you're right, it may not be completing. Some of the ballparks I've reviewed in summer collegiate baseball, those teams have either moved or folded, or you know, restructured the league, has ended their time there. I think Oneonta, the Outlaws, they redid their ballpark. When I was in Binghamton, you know, that was a Mets affiliate. It's still a Mets affiliate, but it had a different name at the time. So you're right. Things do change a lot in the summer collegiate leagues.
But they do an indie ball too, and they do in the minor leagues. Ball.
Like yeah. Estonia, that's a different team now. If you went out to see the Spire City Ghost Towns, they're not there anymore. You know, the Somerset Patriots were once independent. Now they're affiliated. So that's happened in the few years. So, yeah, things change. And you're right. Sometimes, you know, the average ballpark person doesn't even know what the heck's going on. Like, oh, yeah, the Patriots, that's affiliated. No, they're not. Trenton, you know, they were affiliated for many years. And then they got bumped down to the MLB Draft League. I don't know how attendance is there anymore, but I hear it's much better than their first couple years. So, yeah, you're right, Dave. It's a weird world because, you know, you had teams that were minor league or independent. Now they're summer collegiate. I don't know how that is. Are they getting 5,000 people a game? Is that something that happens? Hiatus free. I hope that's hiatus free year, Greg. I hate to see them not come back. It feels like they were just there. Now they're gone. We could use them. We can definitely.
You're talking about the Atlantic League, Mark, and that's supposed to be the most prestigious of all the indie leagues, the most stable of all the indie leagues. Gastonia went out of business after 1 year because of, you know, shaky business practices.
A couple years, yeah.
Yeah, Frederick went belly up, or they're on hiatus.
Well, they're on, yeah, that hiatus. We're hope they're back.
What happened with the Charleston team? Was there, or Lexington? Lexington, I'm thinking of. They had two teams Lexington, right?
Yeah, Lexington is there. They're under new ownership. The original owner of the Lexington Legends came back, renamed them, thankfully. And they're trying to make amends, but I think the ownership from last year, when they're called the Counterclocks, ticked off a little league, didn't pay him the $5,000.
Counterclocks ticked them off.
Ticked them off. Yeah, that's another thing. You get these independent, and unfortunately, it happens with a lot of independent clubs. You get new ownership, they change the name of the team, new logo, they want to start anew, and they do something like tick off the local community by screwing over a bunch of kids. That will get you run out of town pretty soon.
When I worked for the Paw Sox, the director of marketing there at the time told me that every minor league team has it in their, you know, their mandate is to change their look at least every 10 years for that bump in merchandise. So you'd see, even if a team like, you know, the Rochester Red Wings, with the most stable branding that you're ever going to see in the minor leagues, they'll change their logo or tweak their uniforms or something every few years just to, you know, keep that interest spiked.
Yeah. Makes sense. It makes sense. And, you know, and then you have a lot of affiliated teams doing a great job. Fort Wayne Tin Caps, giving some shout out to 15 seasons up there as the Tin Caps. They continue to sell well. It feels like every time I go to one of their games, it's a miserable day. So hopefully this year we go on a nice, bright, sunny day and get some apple turnovers on the, what's that, apple, some kind of apple ice cream a la mode with
apple crisp they do in the batting helmets. Yes.
Apple crisp and a little Powers burgers afterwards. How about
Mark must be like the Munsters driving up in his car with the rain following him, and like they're just gonna ban you.
Yeah. No, it's the Tin Caps. Yeah, I am owed a trip up there this year. And, you know, South Bend Cubs, they do a great job.
Yeah.
That's affiliated. The Indians also do a great job. The Dayton Dragons, just 2 hours from me. They always have a packed house as well. So, they're like, you know, we're not trying to diss on the affiliates, but can you lower that price of beer a bit? Just a little bit, you know?
The affiliates now, especially in AAA.
The Big Mama Milkers. You talk about the Dairy Daddies?
Oh, yeah, that summer that's a team that has two summer collegiate teams in two different leagues. So that's a whole other avenue.
Sorry, Dave, I jumped all over you again.
That's all right. But one thing I think now, and I think I'm probably a little bit more pro Major League Baseball influence on minor league baseball than anybody, maybe definitely anybody here, but. I feel like the affiliates now, like the geography is just so good for the majority, not all of them, but for the majority of them, so that you can have that, you know, drive a couple hours from your major league park and see who's coming up the pipeline to your AAA team. So many of them are so close now. You know, you got like Round Rock and the Rangers, and you got Sugar Land and the Astros the Red Sox and the Red Sox.
Yeah, particularly the AAA level, Dave. You're right. I think it's become more – AAA's become a coast-to-coast division with the teams very – in most cases, pretty close.
And the dollar figures have to be better now because, like, the minor league teams – and I don't know what kind of revenue they have to kick up to the major league squad. But so much of the revenue they're keeping in-house, like they're not paying the players anymore. That's coming from the major league team. They're not paying their personnel anymore. That's coming from the major league team. Now, that being said, you know, the ownership of your minor league team does not have any control about who's on the field or who's in the dugout or anything like that. But with that, you don't have to worry about who's getting paid and who's not.
Did we have Sean Aronson on last year and have him, didn't he talk about some of these things that have been an improvement for
that? When we had Naomi Silver on, she talked about, the owner of the Red Wings. She talked about a lot of that stuff and a lot of that was changing. And I guess that's another piece, right? Like, If you have this idea that, okay, I'm going to go and see the future major leaguers, you're not going to do that definitely not in an independent league. I don't know how much you think about that when you go to a summer college league. But if you're in an affiliated league, you're definitely looking at that when you're looking at those players on the field.
A little story from last night. We were at Fenway Park last night, Pam and myself. And halfway through the game, Pam says, Do you feel like it's different now that the AAA team is in Worcester and we don't see them very often as compared to when they were in Pawtucket? And I took a look down the line. I'm saying, yeah, you know what? If a few years back, you know, 10 years ago, I would have seen every single one of those players dozens of times. Now they're all just mercenaries to me. I don't know them.
Yeah, that's a little sad to hear. Because you're right. We're talking about like Lehigh Valley is an hour and a half from Philly. Could you imagine? You know, hey, I saw this guy in AAA. You know, with me, I can see guys in Indianapolis heading to Pittsburgh. But
yeah.
The only person I really remember is Andrew McCutchen playing. I couldn't tell anybody else. Saw Billy Hamilton in Louisville. But you're right. That connection there with Pawtucket and Boston, I'm sure that means a lot.
You're talking about the Phillies. In Philly, you can do it. You got Redding. Then you got Lehigh Valley, so you can see them from Double A. For the Red Sox fans, you got Double A in Portland and Triple A in Worcester. The Baltimore system, every affiliate is within, I think, 3 hours of Baltimore. So you can watch players from the moment they're drafted if you're an Orioles fan and watch their progress and their growth.
And if you really want to see the prospects, you're gonna go and see Double A because that's really where I feel that your prospects are. So many of the top prospects now, they're almost skipped over AAA. Or, you know, they get like 2 months of AAA so the major league team can control their arbitration year, push their arbitration year back or whatever. And so many of those players never really spend any time in AAA.
So very, very solid arguments for why MILB would be the best. You know, that connection, that growth of prospects that and you know, you get the community feeling in all these minor league towns. So that's not something that you're going to get better at this level or that level. So why would somebody get invested in independent league then? Because these are guys who play. Everybody starts out in affiliated ball. Independent leagues are full of guys who either they're either has-beens or never were, right? So the guys who got their shot, and didn't make it, or the guys who just never made it very far, right? So,
like, there's no other way to put it, but that was the way you said it was hilarious.
So why would somebody want to get emotionally invested and financially invested in following an independent team?
Can I intercede real quick? Because I've been kind of quiet, because other than Lehigh Valley and Trenton and Redding, I got spoiled when Camden had the baseball team. I mean, at one point when I was like graduating high school, getting a little older to where I was going to more things by myself, even without friends, I mean, there was Atlantic City, there was Camden, Trenton, Redding, Lehigh Valley, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one, Lakewood.
Lakewood. About? Yep. The Blue Claws.
Yeah, the Blue Claws. Yeah. The Blue Claws, which are still there. But it's that stadium right at the – man, when the River Sharks were there, I've seen some bad teams. But it's – but I've been – but, you know, when you get the breeze off the Delaware River, which we could debate is a good or bad thing because of the Delaware River, if you – on the hottest day, you had the breeze coming off the river into the stadium – and if it wasn't too oppressively, like if it was an overcast day, that was the best. I wouldn't care if it was a has-been, a never was, or a maybe. It was baseball. Like, I mean, how many times I have even less, I had even less at stake when I lived near Pfitzner. But if there was a giveaway or a bark in the park, hey, you want to go? Yeah, I'll go. Baseball.
It's you and I got together at a miserable day in Pfitzner one time, Dan. Had to be like 105 degrees in the shade that day.
I remember. There was not a cloud in the sky. I was like, what a beautiful day. And I was like, well, that's going to suck. That's going to suck. And then wasn't that the day they gave away the Ghostbusters bobblehead with Carter Kaiboom? I'm pretty sure it was because the person who, because there was a giveaway, people were marking their hands for entry.
So we didn't, Gregory. We didn't find shade. That was
where did this shade in? The shade was underneath the grandstand near the bathrooms, so it was shady, but it smelled. So the guy was standing out there marking people's hands so they didn't get more than one bobblehead, which, oh no. But it was so hot that the marker was dried out, and he went to mark my hand, and I said, "You're going to stab my hand." He goes, "I got to mark it." And sure enough, "I'm sorry." I'm like, "Oh, I know you're sorry." And I just grabbed my bobblehead and left. Like, I'm leaving. Forget it. Yeah. So hot. There was no, that was in the middle of the field. There was no shade. Unless it was raining or it was cloudy, you were going to die. There was even shade. I remember finding shade at the vet, but there was no shade here at Fitzner. Zero.
Yeah. No, that's like Kingsport Mets. I was there at a 95 degree game one time. Terrible. No shades. No, and that was the old Appalachian League.
No way. No, thank you.
But talking about, you know, bringing up something Paul said about people that would support independent baseball. There's a gentleman called Mike Trippy. He's a huge Chicago Dogs fan of the American Association. He's got the Chi Dog full fan cast. He wasn't a huge fan of the Cubbies or the White Sox in Chicago, but fell in love with the Chicago Dogs. Love the people that season ticket holders, love going out to the game, love the atmosphere. I've been to the ballpark a few times. I don't know if I share his passion. Doesn't matter. You know, he does. And he's got a podcast and he talks to fans and people from the Chicago Dogs. And, you know, I think with him, he's out there watching that team win. He's not there for the promotions. He wants to see his team win. He wants to see the players do well, win a championship. Whereas some people in minor league baseball, especially maybe, you know, at any level, AAA, AA, besides some of the prospects, you're there for a night out. You're there to get a Ghostbuster bobblehead. You're here to see the team play in a throwback jersey or a special jersey. You're there for the fireworks. You know, I think with independent baseball, there are people there that are really behind this team because, A, let's take Chicago, for example. It's much cheaper than seeing the Cubs. It's much cheaper than seeing the White Sox. Maybe it's safer in some regards. And the tickets are very cheap. It's, you know, only $4 to park. I think it's $9 for a ticket. So there are some diehards that, you know, will live and die for their independent team. I don't know how many, though.
You made a good point, Mark. The point of affiliated ball is to develop prospects for the major leagues. Winning is not the concern there. Winning is secondary.
It's nice.
In the independent leagues, you're there to build a competitive team, hopefully win a championship. You're not there to develop prospects. These guys have already been cast aside by minor league baseball, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the Frontier League would love it if, you know, one of their – and I know the Frontier League, I don't know if they still have the rule where you have to be 26 and then you're done with the league. But I'm sure some of those teams would love it if one of their players moved up
to
the major leagues.
Absolutely.
You know, so they can, and that has happened before. Every now and then you hear, well, this guy was playing for the, you know, Milwaukee Milkmen just a few months ago. So you like those stories too. Bragging rights.
Greg, I just want to update you on something. Fitzner's gone. It's not there anymore, man. Well, yeah, they moved. Well, first of all, they moved to
Fredericksburg.
They moved to Fredericksburg. So why are they keeping that around? There's those four little parks.
Yeah, that was a whole baseball softball complex there where Fitzner was.
No, that's gone, sir. That's gone. Really? There's no Fitzner any. I'm looking at.
Yeah, I can't imagine that would be used for anything except, you know.
They moved, but the county website still claims it's there. I'm looking. It's not there. It's gone. You have the fire department rescue station. You have the police department, which was right there. And behind that used to be the stadium. Tis gone. Wait, why am I telling you that? I'll just show you. What am I talking about?
I'll invite you up for a visit, Greg. Well, maybe during the stadium journey meetup, we can all go there and check it out.
That is gone. There's the minor league fields.
Isn't that it right there?
Is that it?
The top
one. Oh, it is that.
The top one.
Never mind. Well, when did these get here?
Those have always been there, Dan.
They have?
The Loudoun and Hounds. Are they still around?
You used to have to park way out there on that ring on the outside and then walk through the other fields to get to Fitzner.
You need to get out more, Dan.
Back to you, Paul.
Dan was so focused on that bobblehead that he didn't even see there were ball fields on either side of him.
I went there more than that.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Never mind, Greg. The county claims it's still there. So it's about as well maintenance as it used to be.
Well.
Oh, my God. Look at that. Oh, God.
Ugh. Look at that. Look at all that aluminum.
Oh, God, I can feel the heat radiating off it. Sorry,
no
Greg.
Shade, aluminum Beehive Stadium in New Britain. That was another one with no shade, if I remember.
And my dog, Roscoe, had a hell of a time there. He was having a ball.
It's always funny you take
Hank Aaron Stadium.
The Dragonflies?
That was hot. Yes, with the Dragonflies. More Dragonflies than people.
Absolutely.
And that's not even an exaggeration. And there weren't that many Dragonflies.
Is that the one in Mobile?
Mobile, Alabama. But you know what? Hank Aaron's house had air conditioning.
Yes. That's where you go hang out.
I don't think it really had air conditioning when he was growing up in the 30s, though.
Probably not. But didn't they move the house?
Yeah, they picked up the house, his boyhood house, and put it next to the stadium.
It says
I don't know if it's I don't know if it's all still there now that the Bay Bears have moved.
First of all, Greg, I want to apologize. It apparently is still there, but it's so crappy I couldn't tell from the sky. Number two, we're now looking at Hank Aaron Stadium, which apparently is a bigger piece of crap.
That was a weird looking ballpark. It had the luxury boxes there on field level, and all the seats were up above it.
Can you not see the picture? I'm sure.
Yeah,
they were okay.
Well, it's one of the many ballparks. Just standing idle. I'm sure somebody wants to redevelop it. And, you know, because if you think about it, Mobile, New Orleans, Jackson, you know, next year, all those cities are not Shreveport, even though that stadium is full of bats. Like
Jackson, they're using for summer college, I thought.
Oh, well, apparently it's still there, folks.
Smith West, what's it called? Smith West?
Which stadium? One's that, Dan?
Well, there's
That's
two
Hank
in
Aaron
Jackson.
Stadium.
Well, see, this is what happens when when teams move. If you're not near a summer collegian or an independent league, you know, you kind of just hang out there. Like Lancaster, California, once that team left, they were in the Pecos League 1 year, which I can't imagine they drew well. And now they're converting that into a concert venue or soccer field, something like that.
Like they did in Bridgeport?
Bridgeport, yes. Same kind of concept.
I would expect a stadium named after Hank Aaron would have a better view of the highway for people driving down than this. That's what you did?
That's I remember getting there by a highway. I remember going there like through a shopping mall.
Yeah, if you go the other way, God, I love this program. I'm so glad we're able to show people what we're talking about. Yeah, I love that.
That is kind of neat.
This is where you went through.
Yeah, I went through all those little rotaries there. What a pain in the ass.
What's the one ballpark in Ohio where if you park in the shopping lot,
Youngstown?
You have to
Mahoney Valley.
You have to pay a couple bucks to walk into the stadium property.
Yeah,
that's still a crummy entranceway. That's
well, that's why there's not a team there. Not even independent. Nobody wants to go there.
Some of these places in the South, though, like, wow, they really
say it is Mobile.
How do you run a summer college league?
Well, that's great.
You know, like you get to start playing your games at like 9:30 at night or something like that when it's
no kidding.
When it's only 30 degrees instead of 45 degrees.
To convert that to American, Dave is saying when it's 70 instead of 90.
Yeah, can I just say, as producer, that was the first time I was able to try that live while we're doing this.
That is nice.
I have never been happier. I am happier than a pig in mud right now.
How'd you do that, Dan?
Pat yourself on the back, Dan.
I pressed buttons. I'm pretty sure you can all do it. If you hit screen share and just click on the window you want to share, and then I can control what screen it is. So when we do more reviews on designs and
Yeah, logos.
The episode that Dave hates where I talk about how bad logos are, I can
or
show
jersey,
you.
Or about the Fanatics jerseys, which they're finally going to make a change to them.
Oh, are they?
Yes, yes.
And they're blaming Nike. Major League Baseball is blaming Nike. It's all their fault.
I thought that wasn't true. I'm pretty sure I heard a contradiction to that. Dave, I'm pretty sure you're the one that explained that one.
No, you said it. You were always blaming Fanatics. And I said, well,
No, I know that, but I think you explained on that one episode, I believe you're the one that were that was like, well, it's not Fanatics, it's actually Nike.
Yeah,
the
I think Dave
is getting from Nike.
Yeah.
So it is Nike's fault, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, Nike is the directing, right? Like, they're saying... They're passing on the formula. This is what you got to do. But I found it kind of funny how they were talking about, well, they were trying to innovate things that didn't need innovating.
I think we are long overdue for see-through pants in Major League
Baseball. Yeah, I think New Coke is safe.
MLB players point finger at Nike.
Yeah, we didn't need Fanatics. See-through pants where I can see. You know,
Well, you know, if you're trying to attract new fans to the game, what area is left unexplored?
Yeah, or apparently the unexplored areas. There's certain teams that can't wear like certain jerseys because the pants haven't come in. Like the Mets have not worn their black jerseys because the white pants they wear with them haven't been shipped yet.
I will say, I'm fairly certain that the best City Connect this year was the Mets.
Really?
I think so.
In my opinion,
I love them.
Yeah, they're not bad. I wish there was more purple, but, you know.
That's true.
Wait a second.
Yeah, it looks like.
Wait a second. So, what? Not only are the Knicks taking over Wells Fargo Center, Dan loves something that the Mets do.
Yeah. Settle down. The Knicks aren't going to win shit.
It's not my fault. Philly card.
He's going to be at the Rangers.
It's not my fault. I would rather kill myself. Actually.
Well, he did like the double. One of the doubles throwback. The rewind.
The green one.
Yeah,
was fantastic. I can admit that and still say that the whole entire organization can suck me.
I like the Philly City Connect caps. Those are nice.
I bought the shirt. I didn't want the hat.
Yeah, the hat was nice.
The one that just says, anyway, did you know why it's blue and yellow? Anyway, my point was, Dave, it's not my fault that the only one playing for the Sixers right now is a man with one leg and Bell's palsy. That's all I'm trying to say. No, I will never admit to the Knicks taking over fans, especially that one that made that shirt making fun of Joel Embiid's Bell's palsy. Mets jersey's okay.
Nice.
And retract and said it's awesome and just say it's okay. Anyway, back to the conversation. They're blaming Nike, the MLB players. They're straight up going, this is a Nike issue.
I want two shades of gray for my jerseys and see-through pants.
I have two different shades of gray, and I want my
small numbers.
Small numbers. I want smaller names, and I want Bryce Harper to say "F you" and wear the one from the previous year.
When it sweats, you can see my nipples. Yeah, that's exactly what I want.
Maybe that's the whole point. It's a cross promotion. Major League Baseball 50 shades of gray pants.
Listen, exactly what it is. Next, they're going to start wearing ties and handcuffs with fuzzy pink on the end of it. Well, remember, there are people that believe that Coke 2 was a planned fail to get people to start buying Coke Classic again. So maybe this is...
Those conspiracy
nuts. Iceletics just released a video about how Fanatics' price tag for the jerseys next year around 400 and how that's a good thing. I'm like, oh, it better be. Oh, those better look good.
$400 for it.
It better be for 400.
Good thing. I won't be buying jerseys. More money for my pocket.
$400? Does that come with a major league player in it?
Is that Canadian?
No, it's I don't know. Let's look this up. Since we have all these new technologies we can use on the show.
That's nuts. That's crazy. That is not independent baseball, summer college baseball, or minor league baseball pricing.
Well, I'll tell you, jerseys, jerseys at some of the leagues, those range too. I've seen them as low as $50 in Green Bay to, you know, as high as $200 in Sugar Land. That was, I think, before the affiliating change.
I got a Rich Garces Nashua Pride jersey in my collection that I think I picked up for $25 one day.
I have an Edmonton Trappers jersey that I won at my very first minor league game ever.
I see that. That's a nice one. The old Forest.
Nice. Green and gold. There.
It is a medium, so I don't like it.
Yeah. I was there in 95. Well, look at Edmonton. They have a team again, right? They've kind of been through independent.
They have something. They have something up there. I'm not sure. I think Edmonton sort of bounced back and forth. But
yeah,
I mean, there's a great story on how they got out of minor league affiliated ball, right? Basically, all the other owners said, "Well, we're not going up there anymore."
Yeah, that's too far. Yeah.
There you go, Dave. The first flash report.
Yeah.
$400 Fanatics price tag. I can play the video, but I'll get tagged.
Oh, there it is.
Yeah. Gotcha. It goes to a YouTube video. I'll check it play, but I don't get kicked for.
Well, you can't play this video without their permission?
Actually, he's small enough for he probably wouldn't sue me, no. Considering it's free promotion.
We should get him on.
We absolutely should. Apparently, it's straight from the Montreal factory.
So these are going to be done right, not like baseball.
We talked about the baseball thing, and as mad as I was, I'm like, well, it's just baseball. But if they really, really F up hockey jerseys, I'm going to be annoyingly upset about it. You know how annoyingly upset I can be about things. Just never going to let it go.
Ever. Ever. Never, ever.
Never, ever, ever. Ever, ever, ever.
Forever.
Ever, ever, ever. You should see the jerry-rigged camera I have now. Well, the camera's great. I just have it jerry-rigged on a... It's on like two different mods. Back to you, Paul.
Well, guys, is there anything left to say about our original topic?
What were you talking about? Baseball? Oh.
Different levels of baseball.
Yeah, if you like baseball, support the teams. There's my thing.
I think Gregory in the chat.
I was going to say very, very seriously, if you're sitting here listening to this and... Never heard of these teams before. Look up local baseball. Google local baseball. Find a team you haven't seen before. Go.
Yeah, support like local baseball.
Support it. That's seriously.
That's what Logan Weening says of oldfortbaseballco.com. He's got a ton of shirts that say support local baseball, and you can check out his website and, you know, just show some love to your local baseball team. Hopefully they're doing a great job and supporting the community as well. And like I said, there's a ton of great leagues. We didn't even talk about the Old North State League. That's one of the newer summer collegiate leagues out there in the Carolinas. They got some great logos and merchandise, and I think their jerseys are pretty cheap. And they play at some old mill ballparks, small community stadiums, where they really have to reinvent themselves to make that sort of an exciting little trip there. So, yeah, ton of great baseball, you know, independent, summer, amateur, town ball. And major leagues, you know, support them too. I don't care. your wallet.
Well, Paul, like Gregory put in the chat earlier, the show, you know, all baseball is good baseball. So
yeah.
Get out there, support your local teams. Nobody's getting rich off of these lower levels, but man, it means the world to a community. No doubt about that. So thanks everyone for listening. Thanks for those of you who showed up in our chat. We appreciate it very much. And I think it adds a lot to the show. Dan's got all these toys to play with, and that's one of the best ones there, the live chat as we're doing the show. So let's let our listeners follow you.
arguing with a potential client. follow me at Danilo83 while I kill all my business.
Yeah, that's not the best way to start off.
No, it's a friend. He's not understanding what I'm trying to say, so I'm going to use all caps.
All right. That'll get the point across. Probably. Mark, do you have any stadium journeys planned for the next couple of weeks, and where can our listeners follow you?
That's a good question. I'm trying to get the pass to see Caitlin Clark in the Indiana Fever. One of their first, not the first game, second or third game.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah. We'll see. It's that's going to be the hottest ticket in Indiana, I tell you right now. But and then Indy 500's coming up. I'm hoping to go out there again to check things out. That'd be at the end of the month. But follow me, Ballpark Hunter, on Twitter, YouTube. Check out my videos. My current video takes place at Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, where there was nobody at that game because it was a makeup from a rainout. So, hence the low amount of people. But still, one hell of a good time. Check it out.
Hey, just follow you, and what do you got planned for the upcoming fortnight?
Well, junior lacrosse doesn't quite start for a couple weeks, and I'm helping out my mom, who just got a new knee today. So I'll be doing that. And the Ontario Nationals are starting up. So opening day for my son's team is this weekend. So I might post something from them if, you know, he doesn't yell at me or get mad at me for posting his stuff. So he doesn't like when I do that. So follow me at ProFanLine on the social medias. Yeah, totally.
Oh, let's see. What do I have coming up? Let's see. This weekend is the it's the end of the Brown baseball season. So I got Senior Day coming up on Saturday. So that'll be fun. I always love doing Senior Days when I'm doing announcing. Always a good time and always great to connect with the families and stuff. The Providence Bruins are starting the second round of the playoffs this week. So I'll be at the Dunk. Well, not the Dunk, the Amp, the Amica Mutual Pavilion a couple times this week for games against Hartford. And next Friday, the big one, the New England Knockouts make their debut on the 9th. And I'll be there behind the microphone. So everybody show up to Campanelli Stadium and listen to my lovely voice. That's what I'll be doing. Follow me on social media at PuckmanRI. And remember, you can find all of our stadium reviews, news items, other feature stories at StadiumJourney.com. Connect with us on all of our social media channels at Stadium Journey. To find episodes of the Stadium Journey podcast, type in HIAC Talk Radio Network, wherever you look for your favorite podcasts. If you would like to check out video simulcasts of our library, go to Stadium Journey's YouTube page. And if you'd like to be part of our live studio audience, Monday night, 7 o'clock Eastern at Dan's Media Empire, check out Dan's Twitter page, Instagram page, all those pages, he will have the information there. Very simple. Sounds complicated, but it really isn't.
Just we'll search Danilo 83, you'll find it.
Yeah. We'll be, and actually, pretty much all of us, because we all reshare all your stuff. We'll be back in 2 weeks, May 13th. Yeah, I didn't today. Sorry. May 13th is our next time we all get together. We will be joined by Paul Caputo from the Baseball by Design podcast. So, little prid quo quote that was on his podcast a couple weeks ago. He's going to come on ours. It should be a good time. He's a interesting guy to talk to. So, as always, thanks everyone for your support. Thanks for listening. For Dan, for Mark, and for Dave, this is Paul wishing you all safe stadium journeys and close games.